Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Five p.m. hour of Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3, presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Colin Russo with you alongside Mike Rizzo. It is the last day of September, September the 30th, 2025. Entering into October, what does that mean? October baseball. Boy, are both these teams going for it. Let's just get that out of the way. Entering into the bottom of the eighth, 2-1 Cubs-Padres. And they're both have emptied the bullpen basically through and through because they know how important that first game of a series is. Mike Rizzo knows how important that first game of the series of the wild card
series
is.
It's got to be wrong. Hang on. That stat has to be wrong.
12-0 teams are when they win the first game.
Since 2022 when we started.
When they started the three-game series.
You're wrong, right? You missed something. There's one team, right? One team's come back.
This year.
He's right. Not it's so
it's a stat means, till it's like, not. It's like a stat
I know,
till it's
I know
not.
You guys.
You're
you,
due.
You're going to change your tune when they win tomorrow.
I know
you're going to be a different person, and it's going to be annoying to see.
I know you guys.
And the fact is, you know, you're smiling because you know that,
dude.
You're going to change your tune like nobody's ever
you
changed
guys,
their tune before.
Is this not to do this specifically? Is this not my city in a nutshell? Like we were so lucky we won 16 with LeBron. I'll never see a championship again in that city. I'll never see anything again.
Lost the, one game in the wild
Browns stink. The Browns stink. The
Lost
Cavs
one
can't.
Game.
The Cavs can't figure it out with Mitchell. And the Guardians are the ultimate heartbreaker. The Guardians are the only team in MLB history, formerly known as the Indians, by the way, the only team in MLB history to go to two Game Sevens and lose two Game Sevens. They're the only team to go to two Game Sevens in the World Series and lose. Two Game Sevens.
Maybe if they took some of Christian Katz's advice and they went down to the Kaiser Golf Center
Correct.
To improve their
Correct.
Skills, they would be good in that type of environment.
Yeah, you got Jose Ramirez in the batting cage out there, brother.
Tell you what, if they played baseball like I've been playing golf recently, they would have won Game 1 of the wild card. That's what's happening. Because I was at the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center earlier today, got my evaluation, working on the short game from 25 yards out, nailed it. We increased the difficulty for a second time. Nailed it. It's all thanks to the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. It's right in West Palm Beach, off I-95, off the Turnpike. If you're listening in Palm Beach County or the Treasure Coast, that is where you will lower your handicap. That is where you can fix your golf game and win money off your friends in your weekend cash game. The Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center has the best facilities and coaching in the area, bar none. Because not only do they have the facilities outside, enjoy the sunshine. When this weather cools down a little bit, you're going to want outside working on your game, working at the range, or maybe in the practice bunker, massive chipping and putting green. But when the weather turns the wrong direction, take the party inside. Go inside, work on your swing with some video analysis. You actually get the statistics of how your ball is spinning. See what you need to fix. It's all at the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. Had my lesson earlier today. Smash it. Looking forward to next Thursday with Coach Pete. KaiserGolfCenter.com. KaiserGolfCenter.com. Go there. Schedule your lessons today. Because you know what? You're putting too much time into your golf game to be bad at golf. Put your energy the right way.
Wow. Putting too much energy into your golf game to be bad. Might as well be good if you're going to spend all that time. I like that.
I do. It's good. It's good. It's
Cubs 2-1. How about this?
Runner on second.
One out. Bottom eight. You got people at the Schilts at the mound. Got a lot to keep an eye on there, but we'll bounce around now. Let's do a little 5 and 5 presented by Flagler Credit Union.
Five topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas. No brakes.
And it's shaking big time.
It's time for The 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union. Proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Earn up to $700 per year with boost checking from Flagler Credit Union. Number 1.
Baseball playoffs begin today in Major League Baseball. We've already got one game gone final. It did not go the way Mike Rizzo hoped it would. My question for you guys is more in the big picture. Are the Major League Baseball playoffs the best playoffs in TV sports?
You know, it's interesting because there's a lot of problems. It's not a perfected playoff format. It's not. There's some people who still don't like... The fact is that the people don't like everything about it. There's some people that don't like the six teams that make it per league. There's some people that think that the three-game wildcard series doesn't favor the teams getting the byes. There's some people that want the reseeding because, for example, the Toronto Blue Jays, who got the number one overall seed in the AL, they play the winner of Yankees-Red Sox comparatively to the winner of Cleveland-Detroit. And the only reason they don't play Cleveland is because Cleveland won their division. There's some people that have problems with that because Toronto doesn't necessarily deserve to get the Yankees on that series. So there's a lot of – it's not a perfected issue. I do think they're going to change it the next time they get an opportunity to in that next CBA, whatever it might be. But I do think there is nothing like a pitch-by-pitch postseason baseball game. Nothing like it.
I think it's the best, personally. I think you play 162 for a reason, and this is the reason. And you're sweating out every pitch. Every decision you make matters. If you're going to the bullpen, if you hook a starter. How about the Cubbies today?
Best team doesn't always win. There's the most uncertainty with baseball postseason.
Right. How about the Cubbies today? They ripped Boyd out at 4.2. Didn't even give the brother the opportunity to get the win. That's how important these games are and these outs are, game in and game out. And I believe Cubbies are going to score Dansby Swanson from
they
third,
sure
and they do.
On a sack fly from Nico
Something Arter. The Guardians couldn't do in three at-bats with Jose Ramirez.
Yeah, right.
Regardless.
No outs. Couldn't get one guy to get the ball into the outfield. Oh, my goodness.
Stinks. But, the teams like the Blue Jays, the Yankees, and the Red Sox, comparatively better than the Central teams. But I remind everybody, like, it's baseball. Anything could happen.
It's all about the team getting hot at the right time, which is why it's great. It's probably the best.
Unless you're Cleveland.
It's the best because it's quick, too.
Yeah.
3.5 weeks, you know, NBA, NHL, that's a 2.5 month process.
It is.
Football is 6 weeks, 5 weeks.
But I hear the gripes from Blue Jay, Yankee, and Red Sox fans. It's not falling on deaf ears with me. But, Colin, you mentioned that hot team. The hottest team won today, right?
Number two.
No. Bad news in Cleveland, they lost today. Good news in Cleveland, they're making a change to the quarterback position. Yes. According to CBS Sports, Dylan Gabriel will be starting next game for the Cleveland Browns. Out goes Flacco, in goes Gabriel, and stagnant goes Sanders. Is this the right move?
Here's the ultimate. Here's what you wanted.
Yeah,
Go get him.
Christian, I can't. Anybody but Joe. Like, I love Flacco. I love everything Flacco did 2 years ago for the team, going to the playoffs, going to a playoff game. That was a lot of fun for a miserable lot like us Clevelanders. But he was not the guy.
Right,
I mean,
now,
he had the turnovers that he had.
It was bad.
No, you couldn't, with a straight face, you couldn't say that guy gives you the best opportunity to win.
The good news is he had two guys sitting there that you could give both opportunities.
Right, and I think, like, dude, if Gabriel's good, like, I'm a Shador man. Like, if Gabriel's good, you got to stick with him. Like, as much as I like Sanders, I think he can be a good NFL quarterback. If Gabriel's winning games, you got to stick with him. In the end of the day, I'm a Brown fan, and I want the guy who's winning games. Find me the guy that's going to win games.
All right, now let's set some lines in the sand before we react on Monday to that game, whether he plays an okay game or not. What would you need to see in order for them to give a shot to Plan B or Plan C?
To Sanders?
Yes.
Multiple starts for Gabriel.
All right, fine.
Multiple.
So he needs multiple starts. How
multiple
many starts
is that for Gabriel?
2+, 3+.
I think
you get a longer leash than Russell Wilson.
Correct. I think three. I think
a month. He needs a month.
Three starts. I think three starts is fair. If he's going out there and is an absolute head case as a rookie and is turning the ball over, the one thing I think we could all agree on when it comes to quarterbacks, you cannot turn the ball over and be behind the eight ball. That's why Flacco got benched. For how much of a veteran Flacco is, an even keel guy.
One thing not to move the ball. It's another thing to turn the ball over.
Correct. So, like, 3 weeks, and if he's turning the ball over at an incredible rate. I don't think the plan ever was for Shador, personally. And I think that's a problem. There's reports.
Well, he's going to get a rip, no?
There's reports that he's not even running the scout team. Bailey Zappi's running the scout team. This is all coming from our sister station, ESPN Cleveland, by the way. So, like, they selected Gabriel with their third draft pick in the third round. They want him. They wanted him, rather. They like him. They think he could be a guy. They drafted Sanders as a chess piece, a pawn, as they say, to maybe trade and get something. I don't think it's right. I think Shador is a better player. I don't even know if you see him play for the Browns.
Let's be honest, though. Unless he blows, unless Gabriel's great, which is a win for you, You're going to see both.
I hope.
There is not a level that he is probably going to elevate to that will avoid Shador staying on the bench. That's my personal opinion.
Sure.
He will get it in eventually.
Yeah, and you know, I think Gabriel, as much as Jimmy Haslam says he wasn't a part of it, and I'm completely speculating here, I think it was worth a shot in the fifth round, and fair play to the Browns. It was the right pick. I just hope that if Gabriel isn't any good in 3-4 weeks, that they'll give a shot to young Shador Sanders. It's the best I got for
that's
you.
That's turmoil. Number that's three. The circus.
We stay within the AFC North with some bad news in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson, with that hamstring injury that had him exit Sunday's loss to the Chiefs, he is unlikely to play Week 5
Oh, wow.
And could miss 2 to 3 weeks. Right now, the Ravens sit at 1-3. Right now, the Steelers sit at 3-1. But if you look at Hard Rock Bet, you wouldn't believe that it's that way, because the Baltimore Ravens are -145 to win the AFC North, and the Steelers are +160. If I gave you $100 to bet on the AFC North division winner, who would you pick to win that?
I don't. This is more about the lack of trust for the other teams. I'm still going Baltimore.
Cooper Rush. You know, Cooper Rush is their only other active quarterback on the roster right now.
Sign a vet
I'm assuming
somewhere.
They're exactly, but like,
hey, could have been Shador.
I'm a Shador man.
He said he did not want to go to Baltimore to be a backup.
Now, how about
you'd be starting this week?
And the problem is, he couldn't have timed this worse. Their next three games of the easy next 10 that they have, their next three are probably the trickiest of the games on the schedule. They got the Texans next week.
Desperate
team, but hold on, like that team. You get a team who couldn't score all year finally against the worst defense in the NFL. Then you get the Rams. Then you get the Bears. After that, it gets into Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals, Steelers, Bengals. After that, it gets to sunshine and rainbows. That's probably the worst part of the schedule for them because they're all super winnable but losable at the same time. I would say that I would still put my money if I had to on Baltimore, but
they got to figure out.
This throws a wrench in the mix.
I probably am with Collins still at this point with Baltimore. Now we'll see if Pittsburgh is able to beat Baltimore face up. They usually do one time. Me being an AFC North guy, I know this, but Christian, if they're able to figure out Derrick Henry and get him out of whatever the hell rut he is in, I think those next three games are still winnable, even with Cooper Rush. The defense, though, that secondary that they were talking was the best they've had since 2002-03. We haven't seen it yet.
They're averaging 33 points against.
We haven't seen that yet. So I think the bigger issue is obviously Jackson being out, number one. Number two is defensively, because I do think Henry, I mean, he's got to come around at some point. He's still a good running back.
You'd like to think. What's next?
Number four.
Now, I was not able to catch your guys' show yesterday. Did you happen to talk about the behavior of the New York fans at the Ryder Cup?
A bit, yeah.
Did you hear what Rory McIlroy had to say about the behavior of New York fans at the Ryder Cup?
He said a number of things. So which one are you alluding to specifically?
Are you
this one right here.
I don't think we should ever accept that in golf. I think golf should be held to a higher standard than what was... you know, than what was seen out there this week. Golf has the ability to unite people. Golf teaches you very good life lessons. It teaches you etiquette. It teaches you how to play by the rules. It teaches you how to respect people. And, you know, sometimes this week we didn't see that. So
that's what Rory McIlroy had to say about the New York fans at the Ryder Cup. I can tell you that it was considerably calmer on Sunday than it was Saturday. You had a crowd that was celebrating the wins of USA, the ones they weren't getting the first 2 days of the Ryder Cup.
They had something to cheer for.
Exactly. So they showed up, they paid their money, and they wanted to get active. Did you think that the New York fans were out of line to take their New York fandom, style of fandom that you might see in the Bronx, even in Queens or at MetLife Stadium, and take it to the golf course? Or should that be left at those team sports?
Yeah, I'm indifferent. I'm back and forth. I've seen a number of videos, and there are videos all over the place, of the things that people have been saying to the golfers, especially Rory. Some of them are completely out of line. Completely out of line and has no place to be said of the golf course because there is a classiness to that. On top of that, when you got Shane Lowry and Rory basically going F you to all the fans after every putt they hit for the last two rounds they played, it's a little different, but I do think that there was a number of bad eggs that kind of soured the whole experience, because I think mostly you're allowed to like chirp and get in their ear and, you know, screw them up on putts. It's not about being quiet. That's not the Ryder Cup crowd. Don't expect that. It's not a PGA event. It's different. So because of that, I wouldn't say that the loudness during putting and kind of trying to screw them up is one thing. I think the foul language that was used at some points. There was a video that I saw was pretty egregious, and then Rory got the guy thrown out, and it was a video of him directly saying something that was pretty vulgar to Rory when he was walking through in a hole. And the guy looks around and goes, "What did I do?" And Rory's like, "Get him out of here." So there's moments like that where I agree. There's no place at that for sporting events, period. But I'm back and forth. I don't know where I land on it. I am a little indifferent.
So I think New York fan did their job, personally. They did their job. The rubbish players for Team USA didn't do their job. This is what I asked for. I asked for a New York fan to be getting thrown out and giving us the advantage we needed.
10 guys around.
They did their job, man. The only thing I disagree with, don't throw stuff at his wife. That's Bush League.
Yeah,
that's
you know,
his missus. That's his missus.
Okay.
Like, you can't do that.
And
if you
look at it, hand.
You
it
cannot,
hand.
You cannot
okay.
do that.
Okay.
But
it might not have been an American fan. They were celebrating with Team Europe.
Fair enough.
And a European looked like he was holding it, and it's hard to judge between the two. But that's not definitively what we know guaranteed happened.
This is, and you know I love Rory. He's like my favorite golfer on tour. I don't know. I think they were being babies about
Thank
this.
Thank you.
They
yes.
were being babies.
You love the Ryder Cup atmosphere.
Yes.
Until the Ryder Cup atmosphere isn't the flavor
right.
of which the Europeans were used to when they have home games. Don't. Listen, if you were to watch Shane Lowry and Rory talk and embrace after their 18-hole round in the afternoon on Saturday and how they were able to stick it to the crowd, they would not have traded that feeling for the world. And the reason they had that feeling is you had an ebb and flow of the fans being unruly, disrespectful, and downright unpleasant to them.
They did their jobs. New York fan did their jobs, and I give them a lot of credit.
PGA Tour crowd. It's not a PGA Tour crowd.
They didn't do it on Friday. I was very, very upset with the way they were.
Yeah, we were complaining about the crowd on Friday.
But Saturday and Sunday, they were fantastic. Chef's kiss, okay? I blame the rubbish guy. I'm sorry.
I chirped them.
I just, guys, I can't believe.
You didn't say anything vulgar.
No,
there's a level to it that I'm alluding to. I don't know. You've probably seen a number of the videos.
Do we have no young kids in America playing golf anymore? Why are we getting whooped? Why are we getting our butts whooped in this consistency?
Do we stink at golf? If you look at the stats, it's not the case. They essentially played two of the best rounds of golf in the history of Ryder Cup.
It was poorly managed by the United States as well.
So we stink at golf, guys.
We were poorly managed.
No.
They didn't set up the course properly, and they did bad twosomes.
No, but we stink.
What actually happened was the United States of America Ryder Cup team had the second best Ryder Cup performance through Friday and Saturday of all time. The problem is Europe had the best. So, like, there's nothing you do about it. Scotty was 6-under on the round that he lost. But so the Ryder Cup team from Europe congregated on the 16th fairway, when it looked like USA might have won this thing, and they were sweating bullets, they were nervous, they were right in front of me. And I chirped. I said, "What happened? You look at the scoreboard, guys? Took the foot off the pedal. A lot of celebrating yesterday. Didn't drop anything mean.
That's fine.
Didn't do anything that bad. But I was getting Rory's head.
Absolutely.
I was having conversations.
That's you pulling your part. You don't need to say vulgar things at a golf course because there are all kids there.
Now, what do you think about in the backswing? That is where things get blurred because It's holy ground. It's not your buddy at your local municipal course to give a fart in his backswing.
Yeah, I would say no. I would say no. Don't mess up with the swings.
Now,
I would say the same thing with swings and putts now.
Hey, Christian, go for it.
I think the walk up to
Ryder
the putt's
Cup,
okay.
Yes.
I think you stand
walk
over
up
the
to
putt.
The putt. The second he's standing over it about to fire, come on. But there's no. How are you going to police that? What, are you going to allow it and then...
Yeah, right.
Do a buzzer and then no more.
Don't they do it with the cowbells in Mississippi State? You can't ring them while like they're under center or whatever.
So like I understand, it's a tricky spot. It really is. But the idea of the Ryder Cup is it's supposed to be team based. Therefore, you have half the golfers on the course getting actively rooted against by an entire country.
Shameful, you lost
on home
soil.
Now, one thing I'll say is there was plenty of European fans there.
Oh, what? My God. I tell you what.
Say it.
That continent is dropping in my rankings. Like, Europe is precipitous fall. We're going Asia above Europe.
I think Turkey. You're going to Turkey. Turkey's in Asia.
I can't lie. I love my mates in the United Kingdom.
Australia, baby, you're number two. I love me some Australians. But Europe, drop to the bottom.
Don't the Australians play on Europe?
No.
No, they don't? Like, Adam Scott, why would they play on Europe? Where else are you going to put them?
They are on the world team.
Where else are you going to put them?
On the world team, on the President's Cup.
Oh, okay.
They're playing with, like, the Koreans and that side.
Oh, I see. Well, I don't know. I like my mates from the United Kingdom.
They would sing their songs, and they get stuck in your head. Is this a fire drill? Is this a fire drill? Rizzo, you know more than I do about those.
I do. Dude, the soccer chants are unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it is
great.
They're
unbelievable.
There's something about the singing, especially the Irish. Oh, they love it.
But, like,
they don't stop. They don't stop.
The Brits, they all, like, when they all get together and start chanting, they all sound the same. It's hysterical.
Yeah,
no matter where you go, they all sound the same.
Yeah, each and every one of their countries sucks so bad, they had to combine to compete with the US of A. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Give me Ireland versus the US, see what happens. England versus USA. Squash match.
That's loser mentality, Christian, but I understand the point. You got to figure that Ryder Cup out or else we should stop playing this thing.
What do you think about the envelope rule? Should they make way with it? It didn't burn them, but they were a half a point from it burning them.
I really wish it burned them so we could always have
that's
that
why
over
you're
them.
Almost rooting for everybody to get the final wins, and then all of a sudden when you get two ties to finish it, that's where you're like,
are you guys worried about us winning this? We're not going to win this thing for another 10 years probably.
We'll see. I think this is a year that might change things. Like, you take a rock bottom, why you get the redemption team, the redeem team, right, in Olympic basketball. Maybe you see a change of pace. Who's to say? I think they might change the envelope rule.
I think they should.
An automatic point, maybe. Or maybe you remove the point entirely. You play for 24,
yeah.
23.
And also, there should not, and I don't think they ever will, they should get rid of the tie, the draw. It's a European concept.
Of the entire thing?
Of the entire thing, therefore they retain it. Choose your best golfer. We'll choose ours. We'll play 18 with all the guys watching.
Ooh.
That is golf. That's how you do it. Who do you now? There's strategy to that. Do you get the guy who just finished out the round? Do you get the guy who finished an hour ago? That to me would be a lot more fun. I know it's not the rule, but every PGA has a playoff. I don't understand why we don't do playoff at the Ryder Cup, but it's all about tying to retain. Choose your best golfer. We'll choose ours. A whole thing, all the guys watching on the tee box, walking with the team, that would be golf.
Yeah, because I guess other ties in, like, championships. It's a Ryder Cup championship.
Right.
The only other way to do that is in, like, combat sports. Tie goes to the incumbent.
Right.
Golf is not a fight. Golf is a
tournament. We could play another hole, no problem. So that's why I think they should change that and the envelope rule, because the idea of
they can only do it once, mind you. So if everyone
they
says they have a bad neck,
yes.
Yeah.
But I think the envelope rule is stupid. I understand it in concept. The United States actually benefited off of this in 1991. They won the Ryder Cup because of this.
It doesn't make it right.
But I think the biggest problem was the idea that a tie was a retainer. If they change that rule, and that's an easy change. That is an easy change.
Yeah.
Choose a golfer. There's the captainship.
I think
you want to see actual captains. Who are you going to choose?
We're all ignoring the elephant in the room. Is that we can't win this?
Something needs to change.
But there is something to be said. There is something to be said.
I don't get it.
It's not good match play.
You guys
and they were great solo.
I think you guys and all our listeners are going to disagree with me on this, but I am a spoiled brat American, and I don't care. I don't care how hard you fought. You want to know what I'm going to remember Russell Henley for? Leaving two birdie putts short. Thanks for playing.
I agree. That was rough.
Thanks for
his
wasting.
Shot on 18 was ridiculous to get in that spot.
Christian, thanks for wasting my time on Sunday and wasting a monitor.
You spent.
And I'll move
you
on.
You spent three total minutes on the Ryder Cup. Listen to that.
Listen, it was on for a good 2 hours, Kyle. And the number one thing I said was, wow, Russell Henley wasted my time for an entire
Sunday.
Those
Americans showed up.
I don't care.
They
lost.
They have a great final.
They lost. They stink.
They could have rolled over and kicked it to 2027 and stomped the crap out of the World Team of the President's Cup in between then.
Be better on day one when you got the President showing up with fighter jets.
And I think they should. I have an answer to this. Do you think they should bring Keegan Bradley as the captain back? Keegan Bradley.
No.
I agree.
No, you need to have an older statesman. Europe spends.
You need somebody who doesn't care about the relationship with the players. And I think that, did get in the way on who he decided to send out there Saturday morning on sending out the same twosomes. I'm sure Scheffler's sitting there. Me and Henley got this. Don't worry about it. We got this. Let us go again. Morikawa in English. We got this. Come on. You play on tour with us. You understand what we're going through right now. I think that actually got in the way.
Luke Donald has spent 2 years trying to retain the Ryder Cup and win it again. Keegan Bradley, honestly, has spent a month.
Yeah, 2 months.
He was trying to win the FedEx Cup, and he's a golfer. That was all.
When he had to make the decision on whether to play or not, that's when it started. That's when the press.
Right. And Europe spends so much more headspace on the Ryder Cup than the Americans do. And you need someone whose only priority is the Ryder Cup as the captain. And also,
think you need a non-player. You can't have a guy who plays on tour with these guys.
And you can complain about the pairings, and I told you before that Europe played the best golf in the history of the Ryder Cup on their first 2 days, that you can just put your hands up and shrug.
Especially Saturday afternoon. Unbelievable.
There's nothing. There was literally nothing that the Americans could have done to counteract that. The format of the course was bad. The setup, not having punishing rough, that was an oversight that really bit them in the rear end.
And USA had a lot of bad putting. You mentioned they had good rounds because all their approaches were good, their drives were all good. The putting is where they really suffered.
In comparison, I could think of
15 holes right now where they were really
bad. They were dropping bombs too, but then would be answered. Their 15 footers would be answered with 25 footers.
Yeah. That's true.
Parents, if you're listening, get the kids swinging the clubs because I'm tired of losing this every year.
Kaiser Golf Center.
Good shout, Christian. We clearly don't have our athletes playing golf, okay, because we're getting smoked in this event, and I'm tired of losing it.
Yeah, the one
tired
thing.
I'm hearing excuses, honestly. I'm shutting this down. Boys, I'm hearing excuses. Win the damn thing.
I agree. Better players. They had better players. I agree.
The president showed up with fighter jets and was on the grass.
That is a joke.
Play better.
They drove on one excellent all weekend, and then they just fell apart right after that. They all played one great.
I mean, the president.
Goldfish memory after that. They completely forgot what to do.
Good golly. I mean, play better. I'm tired of losing this thing, Christian.
Justin Thomas, you will not need to find a place to stay if you, for some reason, want to stay in West Palm and not in your house on Jupiter Island. Cam Young, you have a place to stay in West Palm Beach.
Agree on both. Russell Henley, you're not invited.
Morikawa.
Bryson DeChambeau was 5 down through 7, and we have his match.
Do you bash DeChambeau as well for not making a big deal on 15th green on Saturday afternoon when he's going against Justin Rose and Tommy Fleetwood? It's DeChambeau versus two of them, and Scotty Scheffler's lagging behind with Kisner hand in hand when they're DeChambeau was wrong, but at the very least, Scotty, a little life wouldn't hurt.
Oh, you okay? I see.
I wanted Scotty to have a little life.
Justin Rose was. You want to talk about class? And then you act like that. Come on, man.
You lost because of day one. I did. Scotty was a disgrace.
No, DeChambeau's caddy was wrong. There's no doubt in that. You're a golfer. You should know this.
Miscommunication.
Right?
It happens.
It happens totally. And Rose is like smug. So he's like, he's gonna make a big deal out of it.
I'm gonna bring it up at TGL this year. I talked to him about TGL when he was on the 16th fairway. That's why I chirped him. I said, "Ain't the SoFi Center, buddy. This is Bethpage Black."
That's fine chirping. Not the other stuff.
New York fan did their job. Win one of these things or else I'm tired of watching it.
No more
honestly.
Keegan Bradley.
Either. I'm not going to watch this event the next. If we lose this, I'm done watching the event.
You barely watched it this weekend. I know you.
It's a waste of time.
You were saying on Friday, we only watched one round.
That Russell Henley wasted everyone's time on. Thanks for that.
And the thing is, he had such a good round, and then the nerves got him in the last two.
Quickly. Henry and Morikawa could go. If I ever saw them again, it'd be too soon.
I agree. We don't need to see Morikawa in English.
It'd be too soon.
I agree with you on that.
I'm done with those guys.
Patrick Reed might get a look next time.
And by the way, Henley, what, the third-ranked golfer in the world? Spare me.
Point ranking. Kings are a joke.
Spare me.
John Rahm was the best player on that course outside of Fleetwood that weekend, and Rose a little bit, but oh my God, he's 73rd.
Where's the backbone? This is the United States.
I'm going to Ireland in 2 years to defend our country. That's what I'm going to do.
You're going to end up in a cell.
No.
Did you see the guy get Skylar Thompson?
About? Oh, you're going to get robbed?
My God, I wouldn't go there for all Midas and silver.
That's not in Dublin, I don't think.
Dangerous
It's on the country. That's okay. Mike Rizzo, Colin Rizzo, Christian Catt. We'll close out the program next. Little Yankees, Red Sox. Good for the Cubs. 3-1 victory over the Padres in game one of the wild card series on the NL side of things. They had over about 5 innings perfect from their bullpen. Cubs bullpen was the question mark coming in. They showed up today, 3-1. They take a 1-0 series lead to get the Yankees and the Red Sox starting in about 20 minutes. It's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Swings and pops it up. Shallow left, Baez out. He makes the catch. His error proves not to be costly. And the Detroit Tigers take game one of this American League Wild Card Series.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Tigers were able to hold off Cleveland in their building today, 2-1 final score. They take the first game of the Wild Card Series. On the other side of things, the Chicago Cubs took game one against the San Diego Padres as we await Yankees Red Sox, which will start in just about 18-20 minutes. No Ben Rice playing for the Yankee fans out there, but you get Garrett Crochet going against Max Fried, two of the premier pitchers in the American League. That is going to be a very nerve-wracking game because Boston does not have no more Giolito for this round, and that will be Lucas Giolito, and that's a big loss for them on the pitching side of things. College football on the other side of that is coming here now, and we're in the thick of it, and with Florida State Miami this weekend, it's got me jazzed up for bowl season. Bowl season, including the 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, which is kicking off its 12th year this year. Tuesday, December 23rd, mark your calendars, 2 p.m. at Flagler Credit Union Stadium down in Boca. The game's going to air on ESPN. It's going to have two of the biggest and best teams from the group of five that are going to battle it out for their chance at the title. More information can be found at BocaRatonBowl.com. Follow along on Twitter at BocaBowl and Facebook.com/BocaBowl for more updates as we inch closer to the 2025 Boca Raton Bowl. Once again, Tuesday, December 23rd at Flagler Credit Union Stadium. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Cat, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. If you miss any of the show today, you can catch it on the ESPN South Florida app, free on the App Store or on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Just go to Russo and Rizzo over there. All right, Mike, we got to make our final picks as we close things out here. Your World Series champion and your World Series runner-up is going to be who?
This is tough because there isn't a, I think, no doubt best team like there was last year with the Dodgers.
No, it's about hot at the right time.
We all said the Dodgers. I'm going to double down here, and I cannot believe I'm doing this because I hate their sports fan. I'm going to go with the Phillies. I think it's the Phillies here. They've been flirting with winning a World Series for years. What was it, Kyle? 2022
against the Astros.
So they've been flirting with it for the last couple of years. The pitching is somewhat healthy. I understand Wheeler isn't going to be a go, but I'm going to go with the Phillies to win. And I think out of the AL, call me boring, it's going to be the Yankees. I mean, I look at Seattle and want to pick Seattle.
That's going to be my flyer pick.
I want to pick Seattle because of the pitching and everything they have, but they haven't had a home playoff game since 01. I'm going to go with what I know, and that's the Yankees dominating the AL. I'm going to go with the Yankee and Philly World Series and the Phillies hoisting that trophy.
I'm going to go Phillies-Mariners. You mentioned Philly. I agree with you on the same fronts. I think the winner of that Phillies, if the Dodgers can escape Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati's
going to
be...
You like Cincinnati.
There's just something about the three-game series. I mean, it's the same thing with the Guardians. All it takes is just... It takes 16 bad innings to really let things get off the rails.
Quickly on the Dodgers. They have hitting. They have big-time hitters who have showed up in the postseason.
And the Reds, I agree, but there's...
This isn't the Guardians with 236 team batting average.
I agree. The Reds are not that good.
They're lucky to be there.
They lost the best game of the year.
They can thank the fish for that down here.
True. But there's just something about that three-game series. I'm not saying keep an eye on them because the Reds are dangerous. I just think that three-game series is just... It's a panic mode because they got Hunter Green going on the mound tonight, and he's dangerous. And they got Blake Snell on the other side, so you never know.
I'm with you, and Terry Francona is a season manager for the Reds.
You never know. And if they win that first game, all of a sudden, all the pressure's on L.A. Point being, I think the winner of that Phillies and winner of that series is going to go all the way, and I assume it's going to be L.A., the Dodgers. I think that winner of that Phillies-Dodgers series will win it. To speak poorly on Milwaukee, I've been speaking poorly on them all year. I got to stick to my guns. I think the Brewers are not going to accomplish anything. I think it will be the Phillies' year to move forward. And as to win it all, I am also going to go with the Phillies there. I think the Mariners are going to break through to the World Series. It will be a big moment for them. And I think the Phillies will finally have their moment to shine. Christian Cat, who's your pick?
I've got the same prediction as MLB The Show. And that is the New York Yankees taking on the Chicago Cubs in the World Series. but my New York Yankees will not break through this year.
Oh, my God.
And
losing
it will be
two
the
straight?
Chicago Cubs winning the World Series.
Oh, my God.
The show actually has the Yankees win the World Series on their video game simulation, so I divert from them in that aspect. I like the offense the Cubs have. I like a lot of their guys.
Yeah, I mean,
getting hot at the right time, and if their bullpen pitches like anything like they did today, they're going to be a tough out.
Like, something that the Tigers and the Guardians don't have is that back-to-back pop. And you saw that with the Cubs today. It was the fourth time in Cubs postseason history that they've gone back-to-back in the postseason. And they have a historically good hitting lineup this year.
It's all about timing. That's what the baseball postseason is. And looking on the other side of things, because if we just go a little further south, we can see what real greatness is. You want to think about the question marks around this baseball postseason. There's no question marks who's going to be back in the Stanley Cup. The Florida Panther hockey team has a new home, and it is right here at ESPN 106.3. ESPN West Palm Beach is now the new home of the Florida Panther hockey team. You can catch all the games here on the ESPN South Florida app. To download it today for free. You can listen to every game on your fingertips. You'll hear a number of games throughout the season on these very airwaves and ESPN 106.3. Stay connected at ESPN West Palm on socials. Take a look at our YouTube page, ESPN West Palm, for all the best hockey coverage as we get to the road of the three-peat right here on ESPN 106.3. That's Christian Catt. That's Mike Rizzo. Colin Russo here saying so long. Appreciate everybody staying aboard with us. Hope everybody enjoys the good day of baseball that we have over the next couple days. Miami Dolphins get their first win of the season. Congratulations to them, even at the expense of Tyreek Hill's longevity with the team. But nonetheless, Colin Russo here saying so long. We'll see you next time. It's Russo and Rizzo saying goodbye on ESPN 106.3.